All right. We're going to take a one-week break from our teaching in 1 Corinthians, and I want to talk about what we just experienced, what we just saw with water baptism. The title of my message this morning is The Wonder of Water Baptism. Last weekend, between one of our services, a young man came up to me and he said, "Hey, Jeff, why are there so many denominations? Have you ever thought about that question? Why is the church divided into so many different groups?" And the short answer to that is because there is disagreement about Bible doctrines, things like predestination or women in ministry or speaking in tongues or how do we handle communion. And there's certainly no shortages of opinion related to water baptism, what it is and how it should be ministered. And so I want to take just a few minutes this morning and talk about what Central Church believes related to water baptism, what it is and how it should be ministered. Let's pray this morning. Lord, help us to grasp a true understanding of this important ordinance for the church. Lord, for those that have not been water baptized, help them to understand the call to be water baptized, what that looks like. Lord, as a church, help us to understand what it represents, not only so that we know, but we can help others come to that knowledge and that understanding as well. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I think it's funny that some people think that God has given them permission to edit the Bible. Like God appointed them to be the editor-in-chief of Scripture, right? So what I mean by that is some Christians embrace Scriptures that they like, and they cut out Scriptures that they don't like. Like I run into Christians all the time that say, "Hey, Jeff, I love those Scriptures that talk about God will provide all of my needs. I'm going to keep that one. I like the ones that say that God forgives all of my sin, past, present, future. That's a really good one. I'm gonna hold on to that one. And I love the Scriptures that talk about God giving me his peace. Lord knows we need peace today, right? I mean, there's so much going on in the world. We need his peace. And I love those Scriptures that talk about that God has given us his angels to surround us, to protect us, and to keep us safe. And I love that idea, that security that we have with God's protective angels. And I love the ones that talk about that God loves me no matter what. I'm keeping that one, right? And so on and so on. I like the ones that say, God wants to bless my life. I'm keeping those. Well, what about the command to forgive people that hurt you? I don't like that one. I'm not sure I'm going to keep that one in there. What about the Scripture that says you're supposed to be in church all the time, regularly, Hebrews 10, 24, 25? Well, we travel a lot, and my kids are involved in youth activity, so we're not able to be around a lot for church and that kind of thing. What about the one that says you're supposed to give 10% of all of your income to the church? Well, we can't afford that, so I'm cutting that out. And so pretty soon, when we read the Bible, our Bible looks like this, right? Because we've cut out the verses that we don't like, and we've left the ones in that we do like. Did you know that water baptism is not a suggestion in Scripture? It's a command. Jesus said to the disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples, and then baptize them." In Acts chapter 2, Peter said, "Repent, turn from your sin, and be baptized." So it's really not an option for us. So what does Scripture teach about water baptism? That's what we want to look at this morning. The first thing is this. The word baptism means to dip or immerse. That's what the word baptism means. It means to dip or immerse. So the Greek word bapto, which is where we get the phrase and the word baptism in the Bible. The word bapto literally means to dip something into fluid and then take it out. That's what the Greek word bapto means. And there's three incredible word pictures in the New Testament with this word bapto. The first is in Revelation, not the first, but the first one I'm going to mention is Revelation chapter 19, verse 3. And it's a metaphorical, symbolic picture of Christ when he returns. And it says he wore a robe dipped in blood. A robe, his garments that had been dipped in blood. And his title was the Word of God. That's the word bapto, where it says dipped in blood. In Luke chapter 16, verse 24, there's a reference in a parable about heaven and hell. And Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom in heaven, and this sinner was in hell. And the sinner wants Lazarus to dip his finger in water. Here's what it says. The rich man shouted, "Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to this side to dip, bapto, the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm in anguish in these flames." So the first one is dipping the robe in blood and taking it out. Second, dipping your finger in water and taking it down. The third has to do with what Jesus said at the Last Supper with his disciples. They would, at the Passover meal, they would take a piece of bread and they would dip it in the bowl filled with lamb juice. It's called sop. Here's what it said. Jesus responded, It is the one to whom, the one that will betray me, the one to whom I give the bread, I dip, bapto, in the bowl. And when he had baptoed it, when he had dipped it, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. So the Greek word bapto means to dip something in fluid or liquid and then to take it out. In the case of a robe, dipping it in blood. In the case of a finger, dipping it in water. In the case of bread, dipping it in lamb's juice. Well, the Greek word bapto has some derivations. One of those is baptizo. And baptizo is the more common word in the New Testament used for baptism. And there's three concepts with this expanded word baptizo. One is it means to dip repeatedly, to immerse or submerge. And it's used in two senses in non-biblical Greek. One was when a ship would sink. When a ship would sink, it was though it was under the water. It was baptized by the water. Another was used when they would take a garment and want to dye it in colored dye. So they would fill a basin with water and the dye, and they would mix it up so that the water was colored. And then they would take the garment and they would dip it in the dye and they would saturate it completely. They would make sure that every single part of that fabric or that cloth had been dipped in the dye. And that's the word baptizo. It means to put something under, to immerse, or to dip. Another concept of that word was to cleanse or wash by dipping or submerging. It means to bathe. The word baptizo could have been used to bathe. So when we went to Ethiopia last April and we were driving out in rural areas, when we would come like to a lake or a river, a body of water of some type, we would see Ethiopians bathing themselves there. They would walk down into the water. Sometimes they'd maybe do laundry there, but they were there to clean themselves as well. So they would lather up, and they didn't stand on the shore and kind of splash water on themselves. They would step down into the water. That's baptizo. That's going down. They would lather up and then go under the water and completely wash themselves. That's the concept of that word. And the third concept of the word baptizo is to overwhelm with afflictions or suffering. Now, Jesus used that term when he was talking to the disciples, and he asked them, he said, "Are you able to endure the baptism that I'm about to be baptized with?" In other words, I'm going to the cross, and I'm going to be overwhelmed completely with emotion and suffering. So why do we say all that? Because we're talking about the mode of baptism, which is immersion, not sprinkling. Now, I'm not knocking on any church tradition that sprinkles for baptism. I'm saying our understanding as a church and as a denomination is that baptism, the root of that etymologically, in terms of the word itself, means to immerse or to dip. So you would not take water and with dye and just sort of sprinkle the fabric. It wouldn't get dyed. So you immerse it completely. That's the concept of baptism. Jesus didn't take some blood and sprinkle it on his robe. The concept there is that it's fully saturated. When it sank, it was completely under the water. That's baptism. And so we celebrate baptism by immersion, not by sprinkling. There's one other way to determine that, and that is in the accounts in the New Testament where baptisms happened, how did they happen? What is the account of those baptisms, and what can we ascertain from reading those texts? So let's look at a couple of those this morning. First, Jesus' baptism. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, it's implied there that he went down into the water. And when Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. Let's go to the next text, Acts chapter 8. This is Philip when he's going to baptize an Ethiopian that he had just led to Christ. He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. So the idea is they didn't stop on the edge of the water. They didn't stop there, and Philip didn't just take a little bit of water and sprinkle him. They went down into the water, and the Ethiopian was dunked under the water and brought back up. And when they came up out of the water, then the Lord took Philip to another ministry. This is one of the ones I think is almost the most profound, and that is when John the Baptist was baptizing people. Listen to what it says. At this time, John the Baptist was baptizing at Aenon near Salim because there was what? What does it say? There was plenty of water in that body of water. And people kept coming to him for baptism. Why would they need plenty of water? Why couldn't they just use any little pool of water or something where they would go and just get a little bit of water and baptize? They needed a lot of water so it was deep enough so they could take people under the water. So we believe in baptism by immersion, both because of the word baptism itself, bapto and baptizo, and then later by the accounts, which seems to indicate they went down into the water and came up out of the water. The second thing is that baptism is different from salvation. These are reasons we baptize in water the way that we do, why we believe what we believe. Baptism is different from salvation. The New Testament makes a clear distinction between faith and believing in Christ and then the separate act of water baptism. And saving faith, being saved, always precedes or comes before baptism. Water baptism doesn't save us. I need to say that again. The act of water baptism doesn't save us. One of the reasons is that the Bible says we're saved by grace through faith, not human works. So if everybody could be faith by doing the human work of water baptism, that would mean they're saved by works and not by faith. So it's no human effort that saves you. Otherwise, we could just baptize everybody, right, and everybody would be saved. No, but believing in Jesus, putting your trust in Christ, putting your faith in him, repenting of your sin, comes before the act of water baptism. They're different. So let's look at a couple scriptures this morning that indicate that. Peter replied, "Each of you," this is on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, "each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God." Recognize you're a sinner, turn from your sin, and put your trust in Christ. Turn toward God. And then be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners. He says, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." Those who believed what Peter said, faith, salvation, were then what? Then baptized. Okay? So faith, salvation, repentance always precedes or comes before the act of water baptism. Can you imagine baptizing 3,000 people that day? How long did that take? It's only two today. I'm kind of glad it was. Or I wouldn't even be preaching yet, right? So, all right, next text. "But now the people believed Philip's message of good news concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ." They're saved. They receive the gospel. As a result, say as a result, many men and women were baptized. Again, separating salvation, trust, repentance, believing in Jesus from the act of water baptism. Next text, Acts 10. Peter had gone to Cornelius, a Gentile's house, and preached the gospel to his household. They heard them. This is Peter and the Jews that were with him. They heard these Gentiles speaking in other tongues and praising God. Then Peter asked, "Can anyone object to their being baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit just like we did?" In other words, they saw the evidence of salvation. They saw the Holy Spirit working in their lives. They knew that they had believed. They knew that they were saved. Peter says, "Well, how can we prevent them from being baptized if they've already been saved?" Again, two different acts, one believing, trusting, repenting for salvation, and one then taking the next step of water baptism. I think one of the most interesting verses in the book of 1 Corinthians we're studying right now is chapter 1, verse 17. And Paul says this. Paul says, Christ did not send me to baptize, to water baptize people, but to preach the good news, and not with clever speech for fear that the cross of Christ would lose its power. In other words, Paul said, my calling is to preach the gospel and see people get saved, right? He didn't call me specifically to water baptize people. So in other words, if water baptism saved people, then Paul wouldn't have said that. He would have said, God called me to water baptize people because that's how they get saved. Instead, Paul says, he didn't call me to baptize, he called me to preach the gospel. And when the gospel is preached, people get saved. The next step after you get saved or believe in Christ is to be water baptized. So preaching the good news results in salvation. Baptism is different. That's why we as a church call water baptism believer's baptism, because you have to be a believer first. The first step is believing in Christ. The first step is trusting him for your salvation. The first step is turning from your sin and turning to God. The second step is water baptism. In other words, you're not to be water baptized unless you're saved. So again, not knocking any church tradition, what does that say about infant baptism? What does that say about traditions that baptize infants? Well, scripture indicates that those are two different things. Coming to faith in Christ, which comes first, repenting of your sins. So if a person does not have the intellectual ability to understand the gospel and what it means, to understand sin, I've sinned against God, I'm separated from God because of my sin, I need to repent and turn from that sin. I believe that Jesus Christ was God who came in the flesh. I believe that he lived a sinless life and died on the cross for me, and I believe that he was resurrected from the dead. If you don't have the ability, the cognitive ability to understand that message, you're not ready to be water baptized. So you have to come to a point where you understand it. So then that begs the next question. Well, what about people that don't have the emotional or intellectual capacity to understand the gospel? And what about children who are not old enough yet to understand? What happens if they die? Well, they go right to heaven. They go right to heaven because of the mercy and grace of a loving Father. They go to heaven because the character of Christ is merciful. Well, so how do we know that biblically? So 2 Samuel chapter 12, the first child born of David and Bathsheba, a newborn, dies. And David makes this comment. He says, I'm going to be with him. I'm going to go to see him, but he won't come back and see me. In other words, they're already in heaven. In other words, those that die before they have either don't have the understanding or don't have the ability to understand the gospel, in God's mercy, he protects them. So we don't do infant baptism. We do child dedication. Child dedication means a parent are dedicating themselves to raise their child in a Christian home. They say, we're gonna pray for this child, we're gonna teach this child scripture, we're gonna be examples of Christ, and then when they get to the age where they can understand and conceptualize the gospel, we're gonna share the gospel with them in hopes and belief that they're gonna come to know Christ, right? So we don't do infant baptism, not knocking any tradition. We believe in believer's baptism, that water baptism follows faith and repentance and trust in God. The third thing is this: baptism is for the spiritually immature. Water baptism is for the spiritually immature, not the mature, okay? In other words, in scripture, in the New Testament, when people are baptized, they get baptized immediately after they're saved. There's not a period of waiting. Now, many of you, that's your story. And we've heard all weekend, we've heard some testimonies from people that accepted Christ earlier in their life and then maybe went through a rocky journey or a tough journey or something, or they fell back into sin and then they were water baptized years later. That's not the Bible plan. The Bible plan is that when you come to Christ, the first thing you do is get water baptized. It's immediate. Let's look at some scriptures this morning. But now the people believe Philip's message of good news concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. As a result, many men and women immediately, right away, were baptized. That's like the first thing that they did. Next scripture, verses 36 to 38. As they rode along, Peter and the Ethiopian came to some water. The eunuch said, look, there's water. Why can't I be baptized? He ordered the carriage to stop. They went down into the water and Philip baptized him. This guy had just been saved like 3 minutes. 3 minutes, and he says, I need to be water baptized. So the chariot stopped, they saw some water there, and they went down and did that immediately. He didn't take six water baptism classes. He didn't go to seminary. He didn't even take 3 weeks to think about it. To grow in Christ, right? He got baptized immediately. Another text. Can anyone object to their being baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did? So he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ right after they got saved. There was no waiting period. Do we have one more text this morning? Chapter 18, verse 8. Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, and everyone in his household believed in the Lord. Step one, believe. Put your trust in Christ. Be saved. Many others in Corinth also heard Paul, became believers, and were baptized. Again, following salvation, following conversion to Christ by faith, and then soon after that decision, they are water baptized. We're talking about the fact that water baptism isn't for the spiritually mature. It's for the immature. It's for the newbie. It's for the new Christian. It's, in fact, the very first thing that you're supposed to do once you are converted. Did you know that water baptism is like kindergarten? It's not one of the deeper teachings of the Bible. The writer of Hebrews speaks to this in Hebrews chapter 6. Listen to what he says. He says, so let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature as believers in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds, repentance, that's where it starts, placing our faith in God, trusting him, being saved. You don't need further instruction about baptisms. Notice the progression here. Repentance, faith, baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. The writer of Hebrews says that's kindergarten. That's not doctoral school. That's the basic, the very first thing you understand is what it means to repent of sin, what it means to believe in God, and then you get water baptized, and then there's some other basic things about the resurrection of the dead and eternal life. Those are all elementary things. So my question to you this morning is, if you are a Christian and you've not been water baptized, what are you waiting for? Are you waiting to get your life together? Are you waiting to become more holy? Are you waiting to become more spiritually mature? What are you waiting for? Because there's an immediacy to this thing called water baptism. It's supposed to follow immediately after you come to faith in Jesus Christ. And the last thing is baptism, water baptism is actually preaching the gospel. Water baptism is actually preaching the gospel. When you are water baptized, two things take place. You stand up in front of people and you make a public confession of your faith in him. That's what happens. That's what everybody has done this weekend. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. So you make a public confession, but you do one other thing. You actually preach the gospel of Jesus. Here's what Paul says in Romans chapter 6. Paul says, have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ in water baptism, that we joined him in his death? For we died with Christ. We died to our sin as Jesus died on the cross. We're buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, we also may live new lives. So I used to think, why water baptism? What's the point of that? Why did God think of taking people underwater and then pulling them back up? Is it just that it represents washing or cleansing? Like what is the point here? No, it represents the whole gospel. When you are water baptized, you say to everyone that's there, I believe Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. I believe he came to the earth. I believe he lived a sinless life. I believe he was God. I believe he died on a cross to take humanity's sin. I believe he was buried, put in a tomb. And then I believe on the third day he rose from the dead. That's the gospel. That's the simple gospel. And when you are water baptized, you are saying, I believe that Jesus died, that he was buried, that he rose again, and I'm fully identifying with him. The gospel is preached whenever someone is water baptized. Now, Paul says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 4. He says, it's this good news, the gospel, that saves you. And then he's going to tell us what the gospel is. So it's not water baptism that saves you, it's the gospel that saves you. The good news about Christ. If you continue to believe the message I told you, unless of course you heard the wrong gospel, I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. This is the gospel, here it is. Christ died for our sins, just like the scripture said. He was buried, And he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures say. I run into so many Christians that I don't know how to preach the gospel. I don't even know what the gospel is. Well, you want to know what the gospel is? It's simply Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and on the third day he rose again, and I believe that. I believe that, I have new life in Christ because in the same way that Christ was raised from the dead, I too am raised to new life by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can all preach the gospel. And so this whole message of Christ is supposed to begin when you're water baptized. Water baptism is supposed to be the first time that you preach the gospel. And why is that so important? Why don't we wait 5 years? Why don't we wait 10 years? Because God's plan for your life, that the moment you get saved, you start preaching. The moment you get saved, you start declaring that you believe in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It sets your life on course to consistently preach the gospel, to tell everybody that you know, Jesus changed me. Here's what I believe. So God wanted the very first act, once you've trusted him, once you're saved, the very first thing is get in front of people and preach the gospel by going under the water, identifying with Christ in his death and his burial and his resurrection. He wanted to break the fear in us of preaching the gospel from day one. He wanted you just to start doing it. Because he wants you, like in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, he said to the disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel. From day one, as soon as you're baptized, start preaching the gospel. Make disciples and then baptize them. Then get them preaching. Get them going in a life of preaching the gospel. We're supposed to go into all the world and preach. And that's supposed to be our very first act as believers. Water baptism, standing in front of other people saying, I'm identifying my life with Jesus Christ. I'm confessing he's my Lord. And I'm identifying with him and what the gospel says. He lived, he died, and he was raised. And my life symbolizes that truth. If since believing in Jesus, you've never been water baptized, my question is, why not? What are you waiting for? What are you trying to get? Are you trying to get your life squared away? Are you trying to become more holy? Are you trying to learn more about God? None of that should precede water baptism. That's the first thing you do. You follow in obedience. So if you're a believer and you've not been water baptized, you're not walking in obedience to the Lord because it's a command, not a suggestion. All through the scriptures, repent and be baptized. Repent, believe in God, and be baptized. And everyone in the New Testament that we see, that was the model. So in the back of your seat pockets there's a little card. And I want you to take that out. If you're a Christian, you need to be water baptized. Go on our website. Make a connection. We'll get you heading in the right direction. We'll get you signed up for one of the upcoming baptism services. So Central Church, we believe that biblical baptism is by immersion, not by sprinkling. It's for those who already believe in Christ, not those that have yet to make that decision. It's to be done immediately after being saved. It's a lifestyle that begins of preaching the gospel of Christ without fear. Who needs to be baptized today? Would you pray with me? Lord, this morning we thank you for the wonder of water baptism, that you thought of this visible act of dipping and dunking people under the water. Who'd have known that that was going to represent the death of the Messiah, the burial of the Messiah, and the resurrection of the Messiah? Who knew? Who knew that we could then be water baptized and preach to the world through that baptism that Christ is God? Lord, for those this morning that need to be water baptized, please help them to find the courage to take that step of obedience. Lord, for those of us that have been water baptized, we thank you for the power of the resurrection that lives in us to be different. I pray this week, Lord, you would help each of us as your children to go into our relational worlds and preach the gospel. Tell somebody this week, Lord, that we believe Jesus lived and died, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, and that they too can have life by believing in him. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, friends, if you need prayer this morning, we're gonna have some folks to pray up here for you. Come on up, receive prayer. Otherwise, have a great day. God bless.